Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Wednesday, August the 26th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. First on today's episode, a man's been charged with murder following an alleged double stabbing in Ramsgate. Emergency services were called to the harbour area in the early hours of Sunday morning. Kate has more for the podcast now. Kate, can you start by giving us an overview of what happened?
Yes. Well, police were first called to reports of a man with a knife in the harbour area of Ramsgate just after 4:45. On Sunday morning. Two men were found with stab wounds, a 52-year-old Ashley Jones in Harbour Street and a 48-year-old man in Harbour Parade. Both were taken to hospital, but sadly, dad of three, Ashley, later died. The second victim has now been released.
And what do we know about the police investigation and the charges?
Well, forensic investigations have been taking place. Officers have been examining a taxi which crashed on Harbour Parade. As part of their inquiries, Kieran O'Rourke was arrested by officers on Sunday and has now been charged with murder. The 21-year-old from Seafield Mews in the town is also facing charges of causing grievous bodily harm with intent, attempted murder and possession of a bladed article in a public place. He's due to appear at Margate Magistrates Court later today.
Kate, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today. A violent man who assaulted his partner at her home in Faversham has been sent to prison. A court heard Abdul Kudus Odushoga carried out a campaign of controlling and coercive behaviour. He demanded money from his victim and was repeatedly violent. The 23-year-old from Hardell Walk in London pleaded guilty and was locked up for 3 years. A Faversham man has also been sent to prison after setting fire to his partner's home following an argument. Max Fields set a pile of clothes alight while his victim and her two children sheltered in a bedroom. It was quickly extinguished with no reports of any injury. The 33-year-old from Church Road in Orr has been locked up for 2 years and 2 months. Now, next today, we can hear from a Kent taxi boss who says he's in shock after being told to remove Royal British Legion stickers and poppies from his fleet of vehicles. Neil McLennan runs iCars in Sittingbourne and Sheppey and was contacted by the council who'd received a complaint. He's been told he can't have advertising or slogans on his cab, but the decisions caused outrage among councillors and even the local MP. Well, Neil has been talking to Finn McDermott from our colleagues at KMTV.
We had a call from Swale Borough Council and their licensing department for taxis telling us that someone had made a complaint about one of our vehicles, in particular this one. And on the back of the vehicle we had a sign that was saying lest we forget, and on the front of the vehicle we have poppies and also names on the cars.
You've always put out poppies on your cars. Is this something you've ever experienced before?
Nope, never experienced it before, and we've been doing it for the last probably 3-4 years at least.
See, and do you have any idea why they've complained?
No idea at all.
Tell me a bit about the correspondence from the council. What exactly did they say?
So we had a phone call yesterday afternoon. It was basically saying that these signs were contravening their conditions. I think condition 5.1 says that we're not allowed any signs or anything on the back of the car that is not allowed by them. So that includes signs that have been added on, anything other than the sign on the side that says iCars with a phone number.
I see. And tell us a bit about iCars. How long have you been running the company?
iCars, we've been here for 10 years on the island, 10, 11 years. I took over ownership completely about 5-6 years ago. My partner at the time, Janice, came down from up north to come and join me. We got married a few weeks back. It's just, we're all about the island and the community, and that's what we want to do. Anything that's going on, that's happening, we're in there.
Absolutely. And tell us a bit about your personal reaction to what's happened. I mean, it must be a bit of a shock, really. It's the last thing you expect to happen.
Absolutely flabbergasted, disgusted, amazed why anyone would complain about having an RBL label on the back in support of our veterans and people that have supported our lives.
MP Kevin McKenna has sent us a statement. It says, veterans gave so much to defend the freedoms we enjoy today, so it's disgraceful Swale Council is asking iCars to remove the poppy from its taxi fleet. He goes on to say iCars has proudly supported this cause for 3 years while doing incredible work for the island, providing an important, reliable taxi service for everyone and an invaluable service for people with disabilities. He finishes by saying they do not deserve to be penalised in this way, and adds, I've written to the council urging them to reverse this decision and I'll be doing everything I can to help find a fair resolution. Well, we've been in contact with Swale Borough Council and they've sent us this statement.
Our licensing team has been allowing the use of the poppy and the Royal British Legion sticker on iCars taxis. However, following a complaint, we checked the use against our policy and it is not permitted under our Hackney carriage and private hire licensing policy. The policy was most recently updated and agreed in 2025 by our licensing committee and policy and resources committee, following a public consultation which included feedback from the taxi industry. The issue is not about the poppy or the Royal British Legion, which the council supports, but the fact that we received a complaint that the vehicle was not complying with our policy. We are aware that iCars has removed the sticker and poppy, and we are scheduling a licensing subcommittee meeting to discuss its request for an exemption from its policy. The next licensing committee meeting will also look at the policy to make sure that there is clarity on this issue.
Kent Online reports.
A dog owner's been fined after her Rottweiler attacked a schoolgirl in Sittingbourne. The 13-year-old suffered puncture wounds to her thigh and scratches after it happened as she walked home in January last year. Jade Blake, who's 37 and from Henshaw's Vale, has been ordered to pay £2,300 for the offence and almost £3,000 in compensation. This is one of our most read stories on the website today. A company set up to run a Kent pub has gone bust, owing more than £100,000. The Plough Swalecliff Limited was set up just 12 months ago after the long-standing landlord prepared to leave, but has now entered liquidation. Bosses say day-to-day running of the Plough will not be impacted and staff are not under threat. A community in Medway is rallying around a street food van that's been threatened from a 450 home development. The owners of the Creeping Fig have been serving hot food and drinks for 5 years from the land that will become the main entrance to the Gibraltar Farm project. They say their future is now uncertain. Medway Council leader Vince Maple and MP Tris Osborne are among those pledging to help find a possible solution. There's a weather warning in place for Kent today. It's not for the heat this time, but potentially heavy rain. Forecasters say thunderstorms until about 10 tonight could cause some flash flooding because the ground is so hard following the dry summer. The yellow warning covers the north of the county in particular, including Medway, Gravesend and Dartford. Now, figures seen by the Kent Online podcast show more than a third of young people here in the southeast are cutting back on food so they can afford other essentials. Meantime, 31% of 16 to 25-year-olds have missed meals in the last 3 months, while one in eight have gone without hygiene and sanitary products. It's as the Trussell Trust say they've seen a 50% increase in young adults requesting food parcels. I've been chatting to Tom Weeks, who's from the group.
A young mum told us how she was incredibly isolated, but couldn't even afford the kind of £3 bus fare to see a friend. And it's really key that this kind of young adulthood is where you lay the foundations for life. But for far too many young people, that's just simply not happening.
We often hear, don't we, about maybe parents foregoing food so that their children can eat. But I guess this kind of catchment of people, the young adults, do they sometimes go a bit under the radar? Do we forget that they can be impacted by this cost of living crisis quite so severely?
So young people are telling us that they're finding that transition from childhood to adulthood just incredibly difficult at the moment. And that's due to a number of things, including a real lack of opportunity. You know, people are telling us there just aren't jobs in their local area that they can apply for and get. But they're also telling us that housing is far too expensive. They can't find a decent place to live. And the housing they have is damp, it's mouldy, and it's just not setting them up for success. And then the kind of support that they're getting to actually move into work is simply not good enough at the moment. There's a real kind of lack of investment in young people's futures. So yes, it's clear that too many young people are finding it challenging to actually go from that childhood to adulthood.
And I noticed as well in your research that some who are perhaps in further education were struggling with the cost of getting to things like college or sixth form maybe. And I mean, that can be really damaging, can't it, on their future prospects as well?
Well, what we know is that if you're experiencing hardship either kind of in childhood or as a kind of young adult, that's going to kind of not set you up with that really firm foundation to kind of go on and achieve everything that you want to in life. And that's why we're kind of calling for more investment in young people's futures, because at the moment it is having these dire consequences. So we need to see more investment in employment support and training, particularly. And we also need to kind of improve that housing support that people get so that every young person actually has a fair start in life.
Obviously, Trust food banks are open to everyone, but have you been seeing more younger people come and ask for help?
So what we are seeing is that this kind of trend that we've identified across the southeast is being directly seen at food banks in our community. So last year we provided just over 25,000 parcels in the southeast alone for young people, and that's up over 50% from just 2019. So we are seeing this real stark increase in hardship for young people in the southeast, and that's why we are calling for kind of more action. So yeah, to ensure that everyone has those kind of firm foundations for the future.
I know we always say that you guys would love to not have to exist. You would love to be able to close all of your food banks because everyone was able to get food in supermarkets. But as far as the food banks that you do have, how are they coping? Because a 50% increase in young people coming along, that surely puts them under increased pressure as well.
Yeah, it's been a really tough, 3 or 4 years, to be honest, but for food banks in the southeast, we've seen more and more people kind of needing support, while people across the UK in the southeast are kind of struggling to support food banks in their local community. Food banks will always do their best to kind of support people, but they're only a sticking plaster, and that's why we do need that kind of government action to ensure that fewer people actually need to come to food banks for support in the future.
Kent Online reports.
Work to reclaim land from the sea at Dover to provide more space for holding traffic is now complete. The £53 million project at the Western Docks has created an additional 10 hectares for the new entry-exit system border checks. The reclamation is part of a wider £250 million revival scheme, which started in 2016. 30 years after it first opened, the Medway Tunnel could receive a multi-million pound overhaul. The council have applied for £10.5 million worth of funding to upgrade key infrastructure like electrical and ventilation systems. They say it would secure the future of the tunnel, which sees more than 50,000 journeys every day. Plans to hike parking charges at a site in Swanscombe have been put on hold. The proposals would see fees for 5 hours or more at the Grove car park go from £2 to £17, an increase of 750%. Well, it sparked a heated debate among council bosses. They've postponed a decision while further investigations are carried out. Work to build a new boardwalk along Walmer Beach is due to start next month. It will allow better access to the promenade, with timber boards due to be laid across 45 metres of shingle. It says construction is already underway on an outdoor gym at the beach, and a new sea scrub sauna has also been approved there. And you can follow us on socials to see footage of Hollywood star Sydney Sweeney wing walking across Kent. The Euphoria and Housemaid star performed the stunt in the skies above Headcorn near Ashford before sharing the footage with her 26 million Instagram followers.
Kent Online Sport.
Football, and former Gillingham defender Connor Masterson will be playing League One football this season. He signed a deal with Reading until January after impressing during training. The 27-year-old made 124 appearances for the Gills before being released in the summer. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. Whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.